Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all again. It's lovely that we can be friends and family. And friends and family always come together, don't they? And they always have a feeling when things are not right with each other, when we've got a bad day. I know I have quite a few bad days, so I'm told anyway. But, you know, it's lovely when we can encourage each other. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. And I believe that's why he gave me this message today. So before I bring it, let's just come to him in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that you will be with me as I deliver the word that you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that you will take anything away that you don't want to be in there. And just give me the words to fill in what you have really got to say, because it's you that we need to hear from today, Lord, not Jerry Kelly. We need to hear from the risen Lord. So I just thank you for your faith and your power, Lord. Lord, I know that you love us all so much. Your word tells us that not to be fearful when we come to speak, because your Spirit will give us the words to say. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll just enable me to give this message in your power and with your authority. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to start with a reading. I'm sure it's a popular reading we all have read before. It's Romans 12, 1 to 21. It's a whole chapter, which is unusual for me. I don't like to do chapters, but I didn't think there was anything that I could cut off without losing the message. So let's listen to what the Lord's got to say through his word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body. And each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Powerful bit of scripture. Now, I've entitled today's message, "Are you serving the Lord?" Or if you like, "How are you serving the Lord?" Because we've all got some gifts or talents if we belong to him, as we've just read in that passage. It couldn't be any clearer from the passage that if we have loved and accepted the Lord as our personal Saviour, then we have a role to play. Once we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we became part of his family, a part of his discipleship, or if you prefer, part of his team. And as such, it's important that we remember there is no I in team. We all have different gifts which we need to recognize and then exercise, because if you don't exercise something, it gets weaker. So we need to recognize what our gifts are and then exercise them and use them to support each other, to lighten the burden, as it were, to share the workload and to enable his will to be done and deliver the great commission that he gave to all of us who have become his disciples. As you can read from Matthew 18 and 20, which reads, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" And that's a bit I like. That assurance that we are never alone. The Lord is always with us if we are applying his word and his will. It sounds like a tough task, though, doesn't it? And it is a tough task at times. And I would say it's an impossible task if it weren't for the help that we get from the Holy Spirit. I would say it's impossible, but we need to remember that if we're in God's team, that with God, nothing is impossible. There's that lovely old hymn we often sing, "Nothing is impossible for you." It's important that we remember that. No matter what's going on in this world, all the troubles that there are, we need to remember that we know who's in charge, who's in control, whose will be done in heaven and on earth, as we've just prayed this morning. It's important that we remember to be an effective team player, that we need to take notice and listen to our team manager. That's God. And to follow his direction and fill the positions within the fellowship where he is prompting us and positioning us, and where we'll allow and make use of the gifts which he has given us to benefit the whole body and not just the individual. You know, the important thing is all of the talents and gifts that we need to meet his calling are provided by him. And at times I've been given tasks from the Lord and I'm thinking, whoa, that's going to be too difficult. But you know what? It soon becomes a joy because you realize, wow, I didn't know I could do that before. You know, but the Lord is no man's debtor. He will repay if you are faithful to him. It's important that we remember that to be an effective team player, we need to listen to the team manager, as I say, and know where he wants us to be. To do this, we must remain in regular communication with him. And it's not hard, because we don't need to worry about what time is it. When I'm speaking to my brother in Vancouver, I've got to be aware that there's 8 hours difference. You know, but with the Lord, he's available 24/7. You don't have to wait on time. There's no time restriction with him. He is there, ready and willing to hear from us. And he loves to hear from his children, just as all us parents love to hear from our children, even when they're being naughty at times. At least we know they're alive, and we know where they are, and we can correct them. You know, and sometimes that's what he will do with us. Sometimes he will correct us. Why? Because he loves us. And scripture tells us that you should discipline your children. And he wouldn't tell us to do it if he wasn't prepared to do it himself. And it's something that we need to remember, that he is the one that's in control. And we need to be committed to always be available and willing to accept any calling that he may make clear to us. Confident that he will provide whatever gifts and talents that are required to meet his calling. I cannot stress strongly enough the importance of being available. And as I said before, it can only be achieved through maintaining a close relationship with the Father through prayer and supplication and application of what he tells us that he wants of us. Whenever we feel that we have received a calling from God, I believe that our reaction should be the same as Isaiah said when we read from Isaiah 6 verse 8, which reads, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me." Wow. No, he said, "Here I am, send me." He didn't know what he was volunteering for, putting himself up for. But you know, there's a thing, a saying in the forces, one volunteer is with 10 pressed men. And if the Lord is calling you, he's calling you because he would rather send you than have 10 pressed men being forced into a position which they weren't fitted for. And it's like the Army and the Air Force and the Navy. Yes, we've all got regular servicemen, and we've got, there used to be conscripts, weren't there? Well, conscripts wore the uniform, but was their heart wholeheartedly in the job? I don't believe so, being an ex-serviceman myself. But you know, when we get that call from God, we've got to answer, just as Isaiah did. "Here I am, send me." Now, it might be frightening, but there's no reason to be afraid, especially when you remember his promise, which my old friend, don't want to disappoint people, Jeremiah, tells us in chapter 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." It's important that we remember that promise. And it's important that we should always be ready to step out in faith whenever we receive a calling from the Lord. And the sound knowledge of that promise, and the promise that Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Couldn't be any clearer. You're not going to have to do all the heavy lifting on your own. The Lord is there. He'll be with you. And if you commit to something, he will send other people around to assist you. And I think that's what this message is about. Giving everybody the power, empowering them to come forward and offer their gifts and promises. When we consider what it cost Jesus for us to become reconciled to God, as you can read from John 3:16-18, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Well, the gospel in a nutshell, couldn't be any clearer. The one thing about it, it's a free will offering, just as you're offering in churches. You've got to decide to give that offering. Give your life to the Lord. When we consider the price that Jesus paid to redeem us, surely then we should be willing to do everything that he asked us, in the knowledge that when we've accepted him as our Saviour, we become heirs to the kingdom. You know, if you have not as yet made the decision to become an heir to the kingdom by accepting his Son as your Lord and Saviour, let me advise you to consider your position on that today. Don't leave it till tomorrow, because no one knows what tomorrow holds. We're not promised a tomorrow. We are promised today and hope for tomorrow. But the only hope we have of a good tomorrow is if we're on the Lord's side and we're in his team. And there's no penalty shootouts. There's no extra time. When he blows the final whistle, that trumpet sounds, those that are in the Lord will be caught up to meet him in the sky, along with those who have gone before. And we'll all meet together in the sky, you know, and if he comes, he can come back at any time, no warning. And you know, when he comes to call his own, I would like to think that anyone who has heard the gospel message will have paid heed and responded to it. So let's just come to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son. And Jesus, we thank you that you are willing to listen to the Father's calling and be obedient to it. And through your obedience and our obedience to the gospel, we can claim you as our brother and become heirs to the kingdom. And we just thank you that for your grace and your mercy to each one of us, and pray that you'll continue to keep your hand upon us and to keep us walking with our faces up towards the cross, looking forward to your return, Jesus. And we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.